Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Lord, thank you for your word. On this beginning of this Thanksgiving week, we look to you for instruction this morning regarding coming to you with a thank offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Grandma was showing her grandchildren the painting, an old painting of a pilgrim family at Thanksgiving on the front of a Thanksgiving card that she had received. And she was explaining to them that the pilgrim children enjoyed going to church with their mothers and fathers and spending that time praising God. Her youngest grandson looked at her doubtfully and then said, "Then why are all the daddies carrying guns?" All right, well, that does raise the question of why we celebrate this particular holiday. In the Old Testament, of course, holidays, holy days, were prescribed by God. Days were set aside for the specific purpose of giving praise and thanks to God. And some, no doubt, did it joyfully, while others may have participated somewhat begrudgingly. Maybe kids who didn't want to have to be there. Well, as you prepare to celebrate this week, let me suggest that you focus on thanksgiving to God with a right attitude, that is, giving God thanks in a way that pleases Him. In the Old Testament, we read about thank offerings. And even though we no longer live under the rule of the Old Testament law, the very nature of a thank offering suggests that this is not a matter of some legalistic requirement that people had to do. Rather, it was, by definition, an expression of gratitude. It was not something that he said every so many days or so many weeks or once a year you have to come and you have to do this, which was the case for most of the sacrifices that were required in the Old Testament. Rather, in this one, it was when, because you feel gratitude to God, you feel thankful, you decide you're going to bring God a thank offering, here's the way you should do it. So this was something that they were allowed to do and encouraged to do, but not necessarily required to do. Well, obviously today we're not going to be bringing domestic animals to sacrifice on some sort of a stone altar like they did in the Old Testament. But there is a place for coming to God with what I'm going to refer to as a thank offering. Indeed, Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name." That's a New Testament teaching that indicates that we need to come before God with a thank offering, as it were. So this morning, let me give you four biblical parameters for thanking the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him. Number one, you should thank God sincerely. You want to give God thanks in a way that is pleasing to Him. We start here. You should thank God sincerely. Well, what does it mean to have sincerity in thanking God? Point A, sincere thanksgiving is voluntary with no strings attached. That's a good way for us to look at sincerity, especially when it comes to thanksgiving. Sincere thanksgiving is voluntary with no strings attached. Now, I've given you a reference from Leviticus chapter 22. The verse 29 in the English Standard Version says, "When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted." Most modern translations render a very similar translation to this particular verse. But I really like the New King James Version because it gives it an added element that I believe is implied there, even if it's not so much spelled out. So the New King James says in that same passage, Leviticus 22:29, "When you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." What is it that's acceptable to God? Well, in this particular case, he's saying this particular sacrifice is not required, so I want you to offer it of your own free will. This is something you choose to do. You're not under obligation to do it. And indeed, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, that we are to draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And that word, true heart, that can be translated, and it actually is in the New International, sincere heart, with a sincere heart. That's where the sincerity comes in. What does it mean to have a true heart? It means it's a sincere heart. It means that I don't have ulterior motives. This is simply something that springs from within me. And in this particular case, we're talking about expressions of thanksgiving to God. It's from a sincere, a true heart. I'm doing this of my own free will. That's consistent with what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, about giving to God our financial offerings. He says, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And even as we collect offerings here every week, we emphasize that this is to be something that you want to do. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. You can take that up between you and God. But this is what God desires from us. If we're going to offer to Him an expression of thanksgiving, whether it's through the words that we speak or the gifts that we give, He wants it to be done out of sincerity, not under compulsion. He wants us to do this with a right heart, a true heart. So how can you know here that you're doing the right thing? What we're really addressing right now is motive. It's the question of motive. I didn't give that to you in your notes, but you might just jot that word down. This is a matter of motive. How can you determine whether your thanksgiving has the right motive, whether it's sincere, whether it's voluntary? And I would suggest to you, as we go into this Thanksgiving week and we anticipate sitting around a table at Thanksgiving with perhaps lots of family members, maybe some friends, and you're going to perhaps give an expression of thanksgiving under those circumstances, I would say, if nobody else was there, if it was just you by yourself, not even a family member, just you by yourself, would you still do it? Would you still stop and express to God your gratitude for His blessings? That's the indication of a right heart. If we wouldn't do it, it's an indication of a lack of sincerity. God wants us to come before Him voluntarily, not because we have to. So here's the suggestion for a thank offering that is sincere. It's voluntary. It has no strings attached. Point B, spend some time in private with God, just thanking Him for the many blessings He has given you. Spend some time in private with God, just thanking Him for the many blessings He's given you. I'm not suggesting that you replace your time of Thanksgiving prayer with your family this coming Thursday. I still think that you should maintain that. I'm rather suggesting that you would supplement whatever time you might spend with the family, where perhaps you pause and either one member of the family prays while the rest of them say amen in their hearts, or everybody expresses some word of thanksgiving. Supplement that with this private time, where it's sincere, it's voluntary, it's an expression of where your heart is really at. Spend time in private with God, just thanking Him, not going through the list of all your needs, but just thanking Him for the many blessings He's given you. If your only prayers of thanksgiving are those that are heard by others, then you probably should question your sincerity. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6, Verse 5, He said, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at street corners, that they may be seen by others." They love to pray so that others will notice them. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So this recommendation for a thank offering, that you spend time in private with God, this is in addition to the time that you spend thanking God with your family or thanking God as a part of some regular worship service. Go into your room, into your private closet, and just you and God express to God how thankful you are for His many blessings. God desires your sincere thanksgiving, not just thanksgiving during an annual family gathering because it's the thing to do. Number two, you should thank God sacrificially. We've seen that we should thank God sincerely. Now we move to sacrificially. What kind of a prayer of thanksgiving, what kind of thank offering is acceptable to God? Well, you should thank God sacrificially. Point A, sacrificial thanksgiving comes at a price. Sacrificial thanksgiving comes at a price. Again, Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 29. Whoever offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. And you're thinking, I don't get it, Pastor Keith. What is this about? We're not doing this. Well, I'm focusing right now on the word sacrifice. Consider that word in this context. Whoever offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. The implication is that there is something of value being given to the Lord at personal cost to the one who is making the offering. That's what's being said here. There is something of value that is being given to the Lord at personal cost of the one who's making the offering. Indeed, we see an example of that borne out in the Old Testament. King David had reached a point of comfort and ease in his kingdom because of the Lord's blessings. And at one point, he did something that didn't please the Lord, at several points actually. But this particular one, he ended up bringing on some judgment from God, not just on himself, but on all the people of Israel. And once the judgment began, King David knew he had to somehow or another step in and plead with God's intervention. Plead for God's intervention that this plague would stop. And so as he sought how he was going to do this, he went to a particular place because the angel of the Lord had been at this particular place, and he thought, this is where I will offer to God a sacrifice and plead with him to intervene and to stop this terrible thing that's going on in my country. And there was somebody that owned that piece of land and owned the cattle that were working there, and this particular man said, King David, I will give you this spot of land. I will give you the cows that are working there, the cattle, the oxen. I'll give you the cart. I'll give you everything you need to make a sacrifice right here to God. I will give this to you. And this is David's response in 2 Samuel 24:24. King David said, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. King David said, I'm not going to take this at no cost. I'm not going to offer this. That would not be a sacrifice on my part, King David is saying. That is not something that I would do. I would just be saying, okay, you go ahead and do it. And we often want to do that when it comes to sacrifices. We're all in favor of it if somebody else is doing it. But this is what God wants. And David knew that. And David said, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So we're talking about something of personal value, something that comes at a cost when we are offering to God our offerings. According to Hebrews 13:15, even your expressions of thanksgiving can be offered in a sacrificial way. Hebrews 13:15 again. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a, and here's our word, sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Now that doesn't sound as costly as what David had to do, where he needed to purchase this plot of land and purchase the supplies and purchase the animals in order to make this sacrifice. I mean, all we're talking about here is giving praise to God of using our lips to praise His name. How is that a sacrifice? And yet it says right here in this passage, we are going to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Well, we live in relative comfort here. And on a regular basis, perhaps we bow and we give God thanks. And we may even say to other people around us, I praise the Lord for what He's done for me. We may even say, I love Jesus Christ and He's my Savior. And I thank Him for everything He's given to me. And it doesn't feel like it's that costly. But you know, every Sunday right now, we've been praying for the persecuted church around the world. And today we were praying for Tunisia. Each week it's another one of these that's on the top 50 list of the most persecuted places. Christians are the most persecuted in these various countries. And you know, in some of those countries, especially in predominantly Muslim countries, to offer the sacrifice of praise of our lips that give thanks to the name of Jesus Christ could cost you your life. And there's a sacrifice. Do I really want to speak these words out loud? Do I really want to take the chance that there's a spy in our midst who is going to state, I've heard that person say that they love Jesus? Do I want to take that chance? Now, we don't face that, really, although it has been increasing somewhat in our country. But I think that there are times when we make such an evaluation and we decide to keep our mouth shut. Not because we're fearful for our lives. I doubt that anybody here has ever been in a situation where you were afraid to mention the name of Jesus because you figured if you did, you were going to die. But we may regularly find ourselves in places where if we mention the name of Jesus in an affirming and praising way, we're going to receive the disdain of people around us. Well, others may think less of us. Where perhaps we may even have a job that's endangered. You may be told, you can't say those things here. And so we evaluate it and we decide, you know what, I think I'll just keep my mouth shut. So if you evaluate it in this sense and say, what would it mean to have a sacrifice of praise to my Lord Jesus? It means that regardless of who may hear or may not hear, I'm still going to speak the truth about my love for Jesus and my gratitude for what He's done for me. This same passage, Hebrews 13, expands on what constitutes acceptable thanksgiving. He says it is doing good to others and sharing with others who have need. Again, Hebrews 13, 15, through Him then let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. And then he goes on, verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We're talking about thank offerings today. How can I offer a thank offering that is pleasing to God? In this particular case, we're addressing the question of value. We've already looked at motive. Now let's look at value. How can you determine whether your thanksgiving is genuinely sacrificial, meaning that it costs you something? I would encourage you to honestly evaluate the cost that it is to you in effort, in time, and in resources. Not just the fruit of our lips that give praise to His name, but in doing good, in sharing what you have, because these sacrifices are pleasing to God. What is the cost of really acknowledging God in every way in order to give Him the thanks that is due Him? So here's a suggestion for thank offerings that are valuable and sacrificial. Point B, as an expression of your gratitude to God, plan to do something of measurable value to honor God. As an expression of your gratitude to God, plan to do something of measurable value to honor God. Now, that's not something you would usually hear coming from the pulpit. Generally, we say things like, you know, it doesn't matter what you give as long as your heart is right. And so we talk about motive, and that's a true statement. Generally speaking, we're not going to tell you how much is this actually worth. But as we're thinking about a sacrifice that is pleasing to God, it's right for us to ask, what's the cost? Often we make excuses for why we don't honor God properly. And I'm not just talking about what you do on Thanksgiving Day. I'm talking year-round. We don't honor God and we give excuses like, well, you know, I have to work. Why don't you go to church regularly? Well, I've got a job. We have to work. I have bills to pay. I can't honor God financially because I've got bills to pay and they're not going to go away. Or I'm too busy. I don't have the time to honor God. We've got things that we have to do. If you could be all that God wants you to be, without interrupting your schedule or inconveniencing your way of life, there would be no sacrifice. The whole idea of sacrifice is that it costs you. There's something of value that you are giving up. So if your busy schedule doesn't have time to stop and sincerely give thanks to God, then sacrifice something on your schedule. Sacrifice part of your time. And for most of us, that's going to be a pretty easy thing to do. It's barely even a sacrifice. But for those of you who are thinking, no, honestly, Pastor, I don't have time to do the kind of things you're talking about doing, then you need to sacrifice something on your schedule. And if you start telling me, well, you don't understand what's implied there, it doesn't matter whether or not I understand. The whole idea of sacrifice is that there is something of value you are giving up. Like David said, I will not offer to God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. And beyond that, if you feel that your situation prohibits you from giving financially like you probably ought to be doing, then I would encourage you to sacrifice some of the things you're currently spending money on. Many people say, I can't give a tithe to God. And we're going to talk about tithing some other time. But they'll say, I can't give a tithe to God. Why can't you? Well, because I don't have the money. Now, wait a minute. A tithe is a percentage, and we're not going to say that that's exactly what you ought to do, but just on a technical basis, a tithe is a percentage. Whatever money you have a percentage of that amount of money, right? And so for you to say, no, I can't do that, what you're really saying is, I don't want to do that because I don't want to give up what I currently have. Well, the idea of sacrifice is that it costs you something. So if you're not giving what the Lord wants you to give, that's what you feel in your heart, then you need to consider giving up something that you currently spend money on so that you can give, as the Scriptures say, sacrificially. Thirdly, you should thank God continually. You should thank God continually. Point A, continual thanksgiving is a way of life. We've read it a couple of times already, Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. You should thank God continually. This should be a way of life. Colossians 3:17 supports that. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So whatever you're doing, day in, day out, morning, noon, and night, you are supposed to do it continually in His name and giving thanks to Him. That's what the Scriptures tell us. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So whatever you're doing, you do it along with thanksgiving, continually giving thanks. The reason we can thank God continually is because of the permanent relationship we have with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. But this makes an assumption. I'm assuming you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I don't know that for sure. I know most of you. Your faces are familiar. I see you here week after week, and we celebrate together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm grateful for that. But really only the Lord knows your heart. Because it's possible for us to put on masks, to have a facade, and to make people think something when it's really not true inside. So look in your own heart right now. And for those of you that I don't know well, maybe you've recently begun coming or this is your first time, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. And you may be thinking, well, as long as I give God thanks at Thanksgiving and maybe show up at Christmas or Easter, we'll call it good. But where's your heart at? We can't give thanks to God continually unless we have a continual relationship with Him. And that means that we have become His children. The good news of the Scriptures, the gospel message, is that Jesus Christ, who is the eternal God, at a point in human history, took on the flesh of a man. He became a baby born in Bethlehem. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And at the end of 33 years, He was crucified, not for any sins of His own, but in order to pay for our sins. And after 3 days in the ground, as buried, as dead, God raised Him from the dead to prove that that sacrifice was accepted. And now He is the only way to heaven. As He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Me. So if you have never come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you have never come to Him and asked for forgiveness of sins and say, Lord, I give You my life, then today needs to be that day. I would encourage you to do that right now. Let's just pause and bow our heads. And those of you who have already made a prayer like this, you don't need to say it again because you're saved by the grace of God. So pray for those who will hear this message that if any have not believed, that today would be the day. But if you're not sure and you want to make sure you have a right relationship with God, you can pray a prayer similar to this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sins deserve hell. I believe Jesus paid for my sins through His death on the cross. I believe He was buried and that 3 days later He was raised to life. I believe He is the only way to heaven. I ask Jesus to forgive my sins, to come into my life, and to make me a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with sincerity today, the Scriptures tell us that whoever comes to Him, He will in no way cast out. You have a relationship with God. And because of that, those of us who have done that now or at any point in the past can give thanks to God continually in all that we do, acknowledging Him. As we consider this issue of commitment, because that's what we're talking about right now, is commitment, continually thanking God. How can you determine whether your thanksgiving is a way of life or just an occasional thing? I would suggest that you reflect on whether your thanksgiving to God is a daily practice or only for special occasions. I mean, Thanksgiving, yeah, we're likely to sit around the table with loved ones, and at the very least we'll say, what are you thankful for? And somebody will say, I'm thankful for this, thankful for family. That's good. You may even have a special prayer of thanksgiving. But maybe it's something that you do on a more regular basis. You know, the C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. But what about just a weekly thing? Do you only on a weekly basis pause and give God thanks as you're gathered here at church? If it is not a daily practice, it's not continual. And even throughout the day, we ought to learn to constantly give God thanks. Which brings me to this suggestion for a thank offering that pleases God. Point B, make a habit of thanking God for specific blessings every time you pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Make a habit of thanking God for specific blessings every time you pray. Now, there are some blessings that you can rehearse every day. Say the same things every day, and it would be appropriate. Have you been saved by the grace of God? That ought to be an everyday thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for my salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sins. The very fact that we hold in our hands the Word of God, written copies of the Scripture, ought to be something that we can thank God for every day, because we are in the minority of the world. The majority do not hold in their hands Bibles like you have right now. And most of us have multiple Bibles. We have more at home. We have different translations. We ought to be thanking God for that. You ought to be thanking God for your daily bread. Every time that you sit down to a meal, it ought to be, thank you, God, for providing this meal, because He is the one that made that all possible. Being thankful for the shelter over your head, that's something that you can reflect on every single day. We're thankful for family, those that we have around us. We can express those things to God. But I'm suggesting not only that you have this routine where you thank God for these regular things, but that you don't restrict yourself to such repetition. You need to train yourself to notice other blessings, both the big ones and the small ones. The big ones are a lot easier. You recognize those when they come. You get a big refund from the IRS. You're, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, we're quick to give thanks for those kind of things. But the little things as well. We need to train ourselves to recognize God's hand at work in our lives and be thankful for those. Did you wake up today without a headache? That ought to be a source of thanksgiving. Some of you have never had headaches. You don't even know what I'm talking about. You ought to be thanking God every day, let me tell you that much. But yeah, when you wake up without a headache, give God thanks for that. Did you have a safe drive when you were on your way to church this morning? Anybody have any accidents this morning? No accidents. Look, the whole church, we got 150 people right here. We ought to be saying, thank you, God, that I made it to church without an accident. Did you get to park in the... Oh, never mind. We're coming to that. It's coming, though, right? And when we get in that new parking lot, every time we drive in there, I say, thank you, God, that we finally got this parking lot done. Do you have food in your pantry at home? Thank God for that. I mean, we got people all over the world who don't know what they're going to have for their next meal. We ought to be giving thanks for those things. Did you show up here and a Christian friend greeted you with a smile? We ought to be thankful that we have those kind of relationships. Thanking God for our church family. There are so many things that we just take for granted and we never stop and say, thank you, Jesus. And yet He is behind all of these blessings. Shouldn't we regularly and continually stop and give thanks for these things? Shouldn't we do it right now? Let's stop right now and just pray. And you can say amen in your heart or out loud as we pray these things. But Lord, we do thank You. You are so good to us. And according to Your word, Your mercies are new every morning. We need those mercies, and we're so thankful that even as we woke up this morning, that You had Your mercies ready to be poured out on us. And we thank You for Your word that tells us that Your mercies are new every morning. Thank You that we hold in our hands the Word of God, the precious truth that You have spoken. We thank You for the freedom that we have to be able to gather as we're gathered here today. And we do this on a weekly basis, often without thinking about it. Thank You, Lord, for the freedoms that we have in this country. Thank You for this Christian family. What a joy it is to see these smiling faces week after week. What a joy it is to be able to worship together and to lift our voices in song and to see one another and fellowship with one another and study with one another. Thank You for this Christian family. Thank You for such things as these comfortable chairs that we're sitting in. Lord, we are grateful for these. Thank You for the cars that we drive where we're able to get to and fro wherever we're going and to get here safely as we have this morning. Thank You for the money that You have provided for us. We work at jobs perhaps to earn that. Thank You for the jobs. We've put aside savings in order to be where we are now. Thank You that we were able to put aside savings. Thank You that we have money to share that we can put into the offering in order to contribute to kingdom work world round. We thank You, Lord, for providing these things. Thank You for the homes in which we live. And thank You even more for the heavenly home. You've told us that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And He's given us the promise that if He's going to prepare, He's going to come back and He's going to receive us to be with Him, to be with You forever. Thank You for our heavenly home. And thank You for feeding us today from Your holy word. Thank You that we can open the scriptures and hear You speak to us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You for being such a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God continually. Number four. You should thank God according to God's directions. You should thank God according to God's directions. Sometimes we just kind of want to do things our own way. It's like a little kid who gets his first model airplane. And he says, no, no, I can do it myself. And you end up looking at this thing, what kind of a train wreck was that? We often just, we kind of want to tell God, I can do this myself. I'll do it my way. But let me suggest point A, that obedient thanksgiving is done God's way. Yeah, it needs to be voluntary, of your own free will. This is something that you choose to do. But when we come before God and we want to express to Him our thanks, it needs to be God's way. We see that in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, discussing the sacrificial system. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13, God told His people this, take care that you do not offer your burnt offerings at any place that you see, but at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I am commanding you. So the people of Israel had the opportunity to bring their offerings, but God said, don't just take them and offering wherever you think. Don't just think, well, I haven't got time to make it to church today, so I'm going to do this in my backyard, and we'll just take care of it right now. No, God says, you're going to do it the way that I tell you to do it. You're going to do it in the place that I tell you, and you're going to follow these explicit instructions that I'm giving you versus whatever your own idea may be. Now, this Old Testament command has to do with making sure that the Israelites followed God's law regarding the manner in which the sacrifices were to be offered. Now, obviously, we don't live under that law anymore. But even though we're not under that law, the principle is still valid, and that is that God expects you to do things according to His instructions, not just whatever you think is best. which is kind of the North American way. Yeah, whatever you think. After all, we need to keep in mind that He is Lord, not we ourselves. And when we call Him Lord, we are acknowledging His mastery, that He is the master. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" And yet so often we think, well, I'm going to come to God and He's just going to have to take it or leave it. Here's what I have to offer. And we say, "Dear Lord," and it's like Jesus saying, "Wait just a minute, stop right there. Lord? What does that mean? Lord means master, and if I'm your master, why aren't you doing what I tell you to do?" So obedient thanksgiving is going to be doing things God's way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." And what does that passage have to do with obediently sacrificing to God? It is hypocrisy to taste God's good blessings and thank Him, but not make any effort to live according to His will. Now, we're coming up on Thanksgiving here. And my guess is that a good percentage of the population of North America will stop in some way or another and acknowledge God. Many will give thanks who don't do that at any other time of year. Because they feel a degree of gratitude. They're thankful for family. They're grateful for abundance. And so maybe at that point, they'll express those things. And I'm suggesting that in light of what we read in 1 Peter, that it is hypocrisy for us to taste God's good blessings. And we all taste God's blessings on a daily basis. God gives us so many good things. Just if we just limit it to material things alone, we are all abundantly blessed. It is hypocrisy to taste those blessings and then to come to God and say, "God, I thank you for these blessings," when you have no intention of living for the Lord that you're calling God. That's hypocrisy. You know, there are several contemporary proverbs, not biblical proverbs, but contemporary proverbs that are used as justification. Justification that we should be accepted by God even if we don't measure up to God's expectations. And that's very true in our country. And I want to show you how these things don't work in our country. Here's one of the proverbs. It's not in your outlines, but you're familiar with it. Beggars can't be choosers. We've used that one before, haven't we? That's a common phrase for us. And it suggests that as long as I am the one making the offering, God should be pleased with whatever He gets. That's kind of the attitude there. You know, your pastor stands up in front of you and says, "Now this Thanksgiving, you better make sure you do it this way." And you think, wait just a minute. I'm the one giving the Thanksgiving, and beggars can't be choosers. Well, here's the truth. Our Thanksgiving is not to a desperate beggar. God is no beggar. He is the Almighty Creator and King of the universe. He is generous, He is gracious, He is benevolent, but He is Almighty King. He is sovereign. Who's the beggar? I'm the beggar. You're the beggar. I am eternally indebted to the mercy and grace of God. So for me to either express out loud or to think subconsciously that beggars can't be choosers and apply that to God is totally out of line. He is no beggar. And we owe Him everything. Here's another one of these contemporary proverbs. And it's similar to the last one. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Okay, you've heard that one, right? Yeah, we know that one. And you can go back and read up on what it means. Those of you who are horse people already know this. But it suggests that God shouldn't be too picky about the way that we choose to worship. That as long as I'm coming and giving God worship, He should accept what I have to offer. Well, the truth is, because He is God, He is entitled to set the standards of acceptability. He doesn't have to rely on you to tell Him what's acceptable. He gets to set those standards. He is God and you are not. I have no right to offer God something that insults His love. So for me to say, Lord, I'm not going to follow You the rest of the year, but You better listen to my thanksgiving right now, that insults His love. That insults His grace. That insults God Himself. God has sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself. His sacrificial love is beyond anything that we'll ever fully comprehend. And for me to say to Him, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You let me do this my way is to insult Almighty God. Here's another one. Well, anything is better than nothing. And this suggests that God should be willing to sacrifice or to accept whatever sacrifice is offered, because otherwise He may end up with nothing at all. So God, I know that You may not like my life the way it is, but anything is better than nothing. Is that a true statement? I don't think so. The truth is that His standards are only unjust if they are impossible. And we may think, well, it's not right for God to expect me to live up to this particular standard before my sacrifices are acceptable. Well, it is right as long as He is God. He personally sanctifies every sacrifice offered according to His instructions, as long as I come to Him with a right heart. I owe Him far more than just an occasional token of gratitude on Thanksgiving Day. I owe Him my life. I owe Him my soul. I owe Him my all. So you should thank God according to God's directions. Now we're addressing the issue of obedience. How can you determine whether your thanksgiving is according to God's directions? I would suggest that you ask yourself, can you honestly say that you are committed to making God's Word the absolute authority of how your life is lived? Are you committed to making God's Word the absolute authority to how your life is lived? Because that's the instruction that God has given us as to what's acceptable. So here's a thank offering done God's way. Point B, demonstrate your thanks to God by obeying Him. That's pretty simple. Not necessarily easy, but it's simple. We know what the Bible says, and we need to live that way. And then I go on. The greatest expression of gratitude is a surrendered life. You really want to let God know how grateful you are? Then obey Him. Surrender your life to Him. That's what shows Him how grateful you are. Actually, to offer any kind of sacrifice to the Lord, but at the same time to be guilty of refusing to follow God's instructions, does not earn God's blessings. It earns His rebuke. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have King Saul, who has gone into battle, and he's received specific instructions from God. And at the end of this battle, Saul decides he's going to take things into his own hand. He's going to do things his way. And so he offers up sacrifices in order to tell God how thankful he is, but he is not following God's instructions. And when the prophet Samuel shows up, God speaks through Samuel, and this is what is said. 1 Samuel 15:22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. This is not just a matter of you making a special time at Thanksgiving to give thanks to God. It's a matter of how you live your life. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. And you can sacrifice to great guns at one point in your life or even several points in your life. But if you are not living a life of obedience to God, those sacrifices are meaningless to Him. We have so much for which to be thankful. And it's right not only at Thanksgiving, but obviously every day, for us to express our gratitude to God. So as you anticipate the Thanksgiving holidays and anticipate this Thursday, gather with family and friends or maybe just a small group, the two of you, be sure to thank God with sincerity, to thank Him sacrificially, and to thank Him with genuine obedient faith in Jesus Christ, through whom all blessings flow. Let's pray. Lord, you have indeed blessed us. Were we able to count all of our blessings, I don't think we could ever get to the end of the list. Lord, we can't even comprehend how great you've blessed us, and yet we so often sinfully take these things for granted. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for ungrateful hearts. Forgive us for being negligent in our relationship with you. But today, Lord, my prayer is not that we would go away from here feeling guilty, but that we would go away from here with a better understanding of how we can honor you, how we can show you how thankful we really are, that we can be more sincere in our gratitude, that we can be sacrificial in our expressions of thanksgiving, and that we would live a life of obedience in order to let you know every day, every moment of every day, how grateful we are. Lord, you've commanded us to be thankful, but you've also told us that it needs to be of our own free will. So this morning and this week and indeed throughout every day of our lives, let us truly give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.